phela mina ngiyinsizwa ngiyinsizwa.
Oh, it's a bit too late for that.
Sure.
Phones on silent on one. Come on.
Shout out to Insizwa. Insizwa, guys, you're watching. It's another episode of the Shady Podcast. My name is Shady. And that guy over there is Podcast.
Yeah, with the PH.
Yeah, with the PH. And I'll tell you something interesting. This man who is our guest is familiar. He's been here before.
He is. Familiar face.
Familiar face.
One of my favorite shows, that one.
One of my favorite shows. Yeah, definitely. And I think management, if you're listening or watching, we need.
And in fact, what I do is I go on his social media channels and I plagiarize him.
Oh, that's why you sound so smart.
Yeah.
Oh God,
I
this guy.
Zimasa.
Yes, sir.
Sorry,
Pujan, right? Good man.
We have to spread, guys. It's not even plagiarism. And this is the thing. We have to open source knowledge. We have to allow people, especially when it's things that are going to help more people to understand what's actually happening around them. I have not a single person. There's that guy who clips stuff on, was it Colbert?
Yes, he
clips stuff or whatever. At the one time he was like, he announced that he was on my channel now. He was like, Colbert is here. And I was like, yes, you should be.
Come here, Colbert.
And clip everything. Take whatever you want. As long as it's not a brand, sure. I have absolutely no, anybody can clip my stuff. I've never locked my channels. I've always allowed remixing of my content. Even when I find a guy has taken my entire video on YouTube to analyze it, I say, continue, chief.
Yeah.
Because that's how we open source knowledge.
Okay. I love that. Okay, it's cool then.
Look,
I can continue doing what I do. No, but there was this lady, right? So recently, I did an interview at Penwell.
Yeah.
And it was quite controversial.
You don't say.
Yeah, you know how it goes. So that shit like went everywhere. Even white people were seeing it.
Yeah.
And people were coming up to me and they'd be like, oh, are you that guy? Mm. I loved your video. Some fucking 7 foot tall Afrikaans man came to me. I was sitting at four and I was chowing and he touched me on my shoulder. His hand extended to my chest. He's like, I love your video. You are very brave. Then he shook my hand. You know?
Because you said things that people don't like.
Yes, I sort of said things that people don't say, but I think we're all thinking it type of thing.
Sure.
And then one of the managers in my building, right? Afrikaans lady. No, is she Afrikaans? Yeah, she is Afrikaans. She was like, she messaged me and she's like, yo, I saw this clip of you. She's not my bra or anything. Yeah. She just knows me that I live in the building. And then we were talking on WhatsApp, you know what I'm saying? And she was like, man, I didn't know a lot of this stuff, whatever. Mm. So I sent her your channel. I said, follow this guy.
That's why I've had so many Afrikaners in my
life.
She loves it, dog. So now whenever I bump into her there in Melrose, she's just like, oh. It's like I've opened up her mind as well.
Sure.
So now she can engage me on other topics other than hello, how are you?
We live in silos, eh?
Yeah.
We live in algorithmic silos, guys. Mm. Mm. So we never really break through to the other side. It's very rare. So, and why it's so rare is because it's almost like algorithmic reinforcement. Sure. It reinforces what you like.
Sure.
So you only ever see what you like.
Sure.
So like it becomes so rare, PH, that something like outside of your purview and what you generally like and the people that interact with you, that you'll see, for instance, let me make an example. You'll see a video of what's going on, let's say, in Tanzania or what's going on in Rwanda or what's going on in what. It's very rare because that's not content you search for. Mm-hmm. It's not any of the people you follow, etc. Yeah. So you won't, if you've ever done, do yourself a favor, bro. If you ever go into and find like core Africana like content,
sure.
Don't even just go there with your Google and your Translate, bro. Some of the ideological stuff that sits there is scary,
and it's open.
Yeah, it's open source. Yeah. No one's trying to hide anything. This is how we think, right? Yeah.
I want to off ramp, but I want to come back to what you just said. I recently just discovered, not recently discovered. So I deleted a lot or unfollowed a lot of people.
Yeah.
And removed a lot of the followers.
A cleanse.
Yeah, I did a cleanse on my social media. And to what you're saying now in terms of the information that is now popping on my timeline, totally different things. Got rid of the baddies, got rid of a lot of the... Got rid of a lot of unnecessary stuff, you know, the clutter. And I was just like, oh, kind of timeline can be like this.
It can be just normal.
And not the baddies.
Yeah. Nah.
He's got a finsta.
Maybe I got a finsta for that. But speaking of Instagram, this clown over the weekend sent me this video. So funny, and I think we can all relate. Player One, please play that video.
Roll the clip.
These things don't make sense, they're telling you guys. I'm telling you for sure. The other day, some brute told me, yo, if it's easy, take it home. I'm like, no, dog, no, no. That's the wrong way around, my dog. If it's easy, don't do it. You want to come up with no quiz? Your quiz falling off. If it's easy. Who wrote that thing? Who actually wrote those things? Yo, if it's easy, take it home. Because the other brute was telling me, yo, take it easy. But if it's easy, take it home. I'm like, no, my dog, no, 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 no. Dog. Do it like that. That's the other way around. You think about it the other way around. Your brain is upside down right now. You're not peeping it closer. If it's easy, don't take it home. You can take it easy. But if it's easy, don't take it home. That's how that thing should be. I don't know who wrote that thing, but he lied to us. Or she lied to us. Whoever said it, kept. Because now Bruce is saying, yo, take it easy. If it's easy, take it home. Nah, dog. You're being led astray. Someone is leading you astray. It's not supposed to be like that. So let's end it here. If it's easy, don't take it home.
Mateki.
Your brain is upside down. Oh, yeah. Your brain is upside down. Your clue is going to fall off.
You know, one thing about Mateki that I've enjoyed is that a lot of the stuff that he actually says, and I don't know if he is aware of it. I think he is. I think he's smart enough to understand.
Sure.
It's socioeconomic commentary. Like, he's one of the first times I ever bumped into him was when he was talking about They Found Us. And what he was really talking about was the digital nomad sort of push into Cape Town.
Yes, yes.
But he presented it in a way that younger people could understand. And maybe they hadn't put data behind this. But he's actually really tackling issues that are in and around us.
And he's entertaining.
Yes.
Right?
Extremely. Extremely entertaining.
That for me, like, that was a public service announcement. I mean, you both know. I've been saying that shit forever.
It's like your line. Your close out.
It's my close out thing on Live Amp or on radio first.
Yeah.
And when I started saying it, remember, I was on at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
So
it made sense.
I was saying, take it easy, and if it's easy, take it home. Because at that time, you know, the people that used to call into my show.
Yeah.
Like, I remember there used to be a porn site called Sondeza.
Sondeza.com,
right? And this guy called in on the last round. And he's like, sure, sure, Aras. I'm fine. I took it easy. Now I'm at home. You know, type of thing. And in the background, you can hear some chick is catching Kalema. We OG. So now I'm talking to him because we're having a conversation. Yeah. Like, he's the radio caller who called in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, my man, what's happening there? And he's like, ah, my man, we were chowing these hands. We were at such and such a venue. Now we're here. We're drinking this. And I can just hear, ow, ow. What's squealing in the background? Everyone's having a good time, right? I'm laughing because I was also drunk. This is 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. I came straight from the club.
You're drunk on radio. Hey, chief.
Bro, that video of me on the radio
talking
to this bra appeared on Sondeza.
Oh.
So now on Sondeza, nang munyu ashaya, I radio akala.
Was he recording?
He was recording while I was recording. He was recording me, recording him.
Oh, my God.
Recording his brain was upside down.
So he immortalized in porn folklore.
Bro, so, and people were sending me the Sondeza clip. They were like, yo, this is you. You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna
did wonders because obviously I was on at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
So honestly, that porn clip put me on. Because more people watched the porn clip than were listening at 3 in the morning.
Kim Kardashian were radio.
Hey. Sex tape.
Kim Kardashian were radio.
So take it easy, and if it's easy, take it home.
Sure.
It's like it was big for me. It's a legendary line in my book, right?
Yeah.
But that guy is, what he's saying is so important because I've realized Abantu Gen Z, like, they don't know. Bebangekho ngo 2008, yabo. And when I was saying that shit, we could take it easy, and if it is easy, take it home. Because those days,
things have changed.
We were taking home with 6 Quran.
Yeah,
you understand what I'm saying? Nowadays, I honestly say it all the time. I say, don't take it home.
Sure.
Yeah. Because it's high risk.
You'll land in hot water, boy.
What's the new thing now?
You'll find an invoice in the morning.
You need a Dextra report. Things have changed. But you check the Dextra. But make sure this person hasn't played AFCON. But Bati Mavuso. Like, economically. Guys, no, but let's bring it back.
See why I followed the Paris?
Yeah, let's bring it back, guys.
See why I followed?
The truth is that, like, and this is a crazy thing. The economic state of a country will be reflected in the interactions and the interpersonal interactions of genders. Okay. Think about it.
What money? If, so they've monetized
it. Yes, money. Right. So sure. If guys, if is there enough money circulating in the economy that there can be normal interactions between male and females?
That's
normal.
True. And not transactional.
When there's less money in the economy, now I'm bringing it back like... Yeah. when there's less money in the economy, gents, it becomes... Like the whole thing becomes inverted. And this is so insane, right? So there are two pyramids. And this is like how male and female interactions work. Don't clip this. So imagine that there are two pyramids. Male, female pyramids. Ne? Sharp. And let's start it at level one all the way up to five. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 4.
Five is the peak.
Yeah, five is the peak.
Okay, got you.
Above B8. Across.
So there's different stages that guys can go through, right?
Sure.
Our pyramid as guys goes one and stops. One and stops.
Okay.
When you get to two, you can do two and down.
Yes.
The female pyramid goes one and up.
Okay.
And when she gets to level two, it's two and up. No level
no
one.
No regressing, yes.
Three, it's three and up. No two or one.
Sure. Yeah.
So these things work inversely.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Sharp.
Inversely, opposite. For those listening, is what Matei was saying. Brain upside down.
Brain upside down.
Yes, Matei.
I'm opposite.
And then at every stage, guys will obviously, and also ladies, go up economically. They can afford certain things.
Sure.
Level one, you're okay. What level two, you've got a car. Level three, you've got a place and a car and a whatnot. Level four, like almost like LSMs, right?
Level four, you've got a table.
So
level five, you're booking flights. What happens
when there's less money in the economy? You start to find that generally how choices will be made and how interpersonal relationships work start to become heavily monetized.
Sure.
So everybody's looking for money. So everybody's looking for, guys are looking for money. So
because it becomes more of a priority.
100%. Mm. Like corruption will increase because guys want to get more money.
Sure.
Ladies want more. There's hence things like Mavuso and whatnot.
Sure.
It's a result of poor economic conditions on the ground. I'm telling you. Because if a person is working, right? Just as much as if someone is working, they have less time for crime. If they're working they're being remunerated decently enough, there's also less time for those type of things. Because on Monday, I need to go to work.
Got
you understand?
You.
So getting the economics right of South Africa, just to bring it to a head, will fix a lot of things like those things, right? Where clubbing has now kind of, it's actually fallen on its head, clubbing. And you would know this. Things have changed in clubbing.
Things have changed.
It's not the same,
like, it used to be, there's less tables in clubs now. I mean, sorry, there's less dance space and more tables,
100%.
Right? It's more bottle orientated. Everyone's trying to extract money.
Sure.
Right? Mm. It used to be that you could go in for a certain amount and whatever, and outside of things being expensive, 990 rand amongst four guys could be easy. It's Shy Sky 90, 990
showcase.
Were good. You can still get ladies to share in the same 990 mils.
Yeah.
It's 1 liter of vodka with cranberry. That's when cranberry was like 100 rand a jug. But so the economics still
a
made
jug. Not
a jug.
A,
no, no,
not
no, a jug. So,
a
so the economics, economics is all around us, guys.
Mm. Sure.
And this is what we need to understand about where we are now. We cannot divorce ourselves from economics and politics. I think everybody likes politics because it's in your face every day. Economics is literally in the shadow of politics and they work together. Mm. If the one is not working, the other one won't work and it won't matter. If economics is not working, guys, there's a simple thing. I think it's the guy's name is Claude Henderson. He says, you firstly need to get the economics right. Then when you get the economics right, you're then able to do things like politics. If a country is not working, literally, nothing else can be built.
100%.
And also, the way that they would fix each other or work together is that politics doesn't seem to have the ability
to
fix
to
economics.
Fix economics
where economics, in my opinion, I always speak about someone like Moletsi Mbeki.
Yes.
You know, like economics can fix politics.
Yes.
If you're not getting it right, because on your pyramid example, you're right about clubs.
Yeah.
You've almost got, you used to be able to go out if you were on pyramid level one.
Yes.
Guys.
Sure. Yeah.
Now you only get
guys who are
4 or 5.
No
because,
car, a little bit of money. You can still go out.
With your other bros.
I'll be on the dance floor ordering Savannahs.
Thank
let's
you.
Let's say. I'll be on
I don't need a table.
I don't need a table. I'm not going to be in VIP. It's me and my boy.
That's
and we're going to try.
I want to defend this topic, but this is not the platform.
The four.
No, but we're talking 2006.
We're talking saying the current status. You guys aren't considering a lot of factors that lead us to where we are today. when it comes to clubs.
Tell but us, Moose.
No, no, we have a show to. We have a show here.
Yeah.
No, we have a show. I'm just saying, there's things like there's things to consider. Hold on. There's things to consider, like COVID and what COVID did, where it literally removed the element of what clubbing was, and you had to build from that. And there's guys who survived, and there's guys who realized that no, this formula doesn't exist. Let me rather create a restaurant or a bar that can accommodate food, keep people here, and still still dance,
nice.
Right?
Yeah.
So why wait? And people also realize why wait till
to go out
till
late
2 o'clock in the morning when I need to start going out, whereas I can have a full
because
day
because
we
were forced to go out during the day.
That's what
remember
I'm saying.
The hours
so,
were,
so it's not just a good feel. Yes, everything that you said is 110% correct.
I agree with you because I think it was heavily driven by consumers.
Sure.
Because opening a spot means that you're trying to get people to come and buy, and people are coming 100%. During the day. But it also was a reflection on people to say, what do we actually like?
Yes. Mm.
Because they'd never been offered this thing.
Yes.
So I think that because there was a new offering on the market 100%. To say, do I go out at night or do I go out during the day?
Sure.
It then changed things. But the economics, the foundation of
it's still there.
Is still the same. Because,
100%.
Yes, you go to a place that's a vibey restaurant. Sure. I like to call them vibey restaurants.
Sure.
And my boy, whatever the club thing was, you're probably going to be spending the same for a bottle of champagne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also got club elements.
Yeah.
So you've got your table, you've got your bottles, you've got your DJ, proper lineup.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's not like a restaurant sit down and there's some Portuguese music
so
playing.
So the GNU need to bring like a committee that's going to look at clubbing.
This is the economics of taking it easy, and if it's easy, take it.
So, guys, we've got a show to get into, and I want us to unpack. There's a lot to unpack. Yeah. We've got I don't want to call him a guest. He's now a family member.
Yes.
And I think in the country, a lot of things have happened in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
A lot of infighting within government. You've obviously mentioned GNU.
Yeah.
There's budgets we need to speak about. There's VAT increase.
Yeah.
There's
there's
tariffs,
leaks.
there's audio. So I want us to get into it. And I think the most important thing, which is the most recent thing which has happened now, is it the passing of VAT or
so the most consequential thing?
Mm.
I think it is that, and it's tied heavily to the budget.
Is it approved?
Yes, it
I've
is.
Been trying to figure out if it's approved they keep saying.
No, I think everyone's going back and forth over.
Let's challenge it.
No,
and I'm like, okay.
No, it is approved. It is approved. Everybody has started to get messages from their banks telling them,
please note the VAT
on the 1st of May, no?
And they have to do that so that they can ensure that they're giving you enough time for you to prepare.
Yes.
So whether if they...
Because you got to change all your Excel formulas.
100%. Sure. So if they actually do pull it back, it can still... But they would have told you. And if nothing happens before the 1st of May, it's going live. You understand?
Sure.
Now... The whether or not it goes live or not is dependent on these people fighting over the legalese of what it means to actually pass a new budget.
Okay.
Which, funny enough, in South Africa, is the first time we've ever interrogated the budget to this extent.
Dude, I feel like the budget speech is the same every year. They just edit the dates. Shit is the same.
So yes, syntaxes will go up. There's a lot more. They're giving more to social services and social grants, which I cry about.
I cry about it
because... Generally, in my country, in South Africa, we've never really interrogated what it means to draw up a budget.
Sure.
Right? And maybe this was the opportunity that we had, but politicians also find time to have the grandiose discussions that give them more airtime rather than the actual intricacies of what we're trying to
of
do
what
here.
You're trying to do,
right?
100%. It's okay because they lack that economic
just
expertise.
Basic understanding.
Correct.
Sure. So, for instance, we're talking about it off-air. Zero-based budgeting starts to solve a lot of the issues.
Mm-hmm.
What is the issue in South Africa? South Africa does not have enough money to continue running the way that it is running.
Currently.
Right? Mm-hmm. We're not saying we're finished now. We're saying, based off the current spending trajectories and inflation, we will get to a dangerous point.
Mm.
Now. Soon, very soon. Sooner than what many might think. We spend 382 billion. Okay, to give you an understanding of the what we're talking about. South Africa's GDP, right? Gross domestic product. Total goods and services in the country. 4.6 trillion, right?
That's everything that we make.
Yes. Whether it's a business service or whatnot. 4.6 trillion, right? Sharp. Our budget is sitting at around 2 trillion. our actual working budget. Those are two different things, and it's
so
very important.
The actual working budget is the money we need to operate.
Operate every
pay
year.
Pay salaries, yes. Make sure the stuff works.
Mavuso, you know.
Level 4 pyramid.
Yeah, you know, brown envelopes, everything is there. So that's 2.2 trillion. And I stand to be corrected on the exact amounts. We collect 1.9 trillion. Already there's a problem.
We die. We collect 1.9 trillion from trillion. Taxation.
From taxation, from VAT, from PAYE, from corporate companies tax, from other various type of taxes, levies, etc. Like REF, and we'll get to that. So now you understand the landscape. 4.6 trillion, how much we make in goods and services as a country. 2.2 trillion, what we kind of like spend, or 2.1 trillion, 2.1 whatever. But we collect 1.9 trillion. This is going to be important around the VAT discussion. So you understand these core numbers. There is a deficit in how much we spend and how much we collect.
Of 300 billion.
Right. Of 382 billion.
Let's call it 400. I mean,
Let's round
what's
it off.
What's 16 billion?
Amongst friends. So round it off. Yes, 400 billion.
Sure.
Now, I'm going to shock you. That amount is the amount on the interest, not on the debt. We're paying the interest.
What do you mean that's
loan,
the amount? What's the amount in the interest? The 382 billion.
It's interest.
It's payment. Interest.
It's not capital payments.
Okay. It's interest on?
To what
the
you currently
debt
owe.
That the country currently owes.
To whom?
To various funders globally and as well as internally.
Abu IMF and the boys.
Everybody. Everybody that we owe. We're only paying off interest. This should shock everyone.
Mm.
Okay.
So we are we in the place so that I'm America fine. Is in?
Yes.
I've heard it spoken. I've never heard it spoken about in the South
African
context.
Different levels. Different levels.
I've heard it spoken about in the American context.
Obviously, different
where
levels.
Elon Musk says we've 37 trillion in debt.
Yes.
We are not even making enough to cover the interest that we owe.
100%. So they've seen that the runway is getting shorter.
Yeah. Sure.
We need to see it.
But it's a repeated point. But I don't know what it means.
Yeah.
And I'm a pretty smart chap.
So
but I don't.
What does
get
it actually mean when?
Mauti, 382 billion is the interest. It's the interest on what principal amount?
I think the actual principal amount, we can double check if maybe one of the producers can check the actual amount. I think it's more than...
Just check with Ursula von der Leyen how much do we owe that bitch. Carry on, Zimasa.
Yeah, so there is a principal amount. I think it's around 4 point something trillion as well. It's quite close to our actual GDP. No, rands. Okay.
Which is what we've borrowed
from various
IMF,
institutions,
World
people,
Bank,
and even internal, guys, even internal. Sure. Because what's important from to note about South Africa is that there are people that borrow us money in the country, people that have money in trusts, right? Mm. That then borrow and then buy also government bonds.
Mm.
That's how the government also borrows, right?
Are they white?
They are owners, they are owners of capital. So
are there any
know,
blacks that we borrow from? I'm just asking.
I'm pretty
anyone who buys a government bond is actually
borrowing the
is help, oh, is borrowing
okay,
money
is loaning the money.
You're loaning
okay.
money to government.
Because I thought maybe that's the
No, you could borrow the government money.
Saying
no.
Sure. I thought that's the bruise that we always speak about. Yeah, boy, suddenly start to the hidden hand.
No, we'll
this white monopoly
no,
capital
but we can always
people.
Get, we can always get to those guys. But because there's FDI and then there's DDI, which is foreign direct investment, and then there's DDI, which is domestic direct investment.
But, okay, but that would have been
back,
a great
let's come back,
conspiracy.
Let's come back,
you know what I mean? It would have been like, that's who's borrowing us the money.
So let's come back.
Thank
How much is it?
South Africa's outstanding debt to the World Bank, primarily through International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, the IBRD, is around $5 billion.
Jeez.
In original principal for remaining repayments on 15 loans.
This one
specifically relates to ESCOM.
It's total
for power
South
supply.
African debt. That's what you need to check. Total South African debt.
I think
total.
I found it.
Yeah. It's around 4 point something, I think. It's close to our complete thing.
Okay, but
let's now understand these things, Sharp, what happened with the VAT is that South Africa needed to make up a shortfall.
Sure.
So these guys and I've had pretty decent discussions with the Minister of
Finance.
We're in Davos, and I got 30 minutes with him, and we're just sitting and having lunch.
Davos dogs.
So
you've experienced two winters in one year.
He said something quite interesting to me, PH. He was like, it's hard to make the tough decisions.
Sure.
Because everybody is looking at the thing.
Sure.
Now, I read that in two ways. I said, maybe this oak doesn't want to do his job and he wants to be liked. This is because it's difference. Like, can 100%. I? Let me do my job. I'm the Minister of Economics. You come, I mean, you, Finance and Economics. You come to me. I tell you, Chief, the can't thing's not working. Yeah. There's no money.
Yeah.
There's no money.
It's the accountant saying, now, how are we going to pay for this thing?
Yeah. There's no money.
Yes.
The other thing was that there's no political will to do it.
Sure.
Because
you're right, Zimasa, 163.9 billion US dollars.
Which is around 4.7.
Which is a slight increase from the previous quarter of 158.3 yes. billion US dollars. This is as of, well, this is as of June 2024.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it should be about 118
yeah.
billion US dollars, which equates to around 5-6 trillion.
Yeah. We're in a spot of bother. And this is how we get to your question, right, around the VAT. So the big push in South Africa is, where are we going to raise the extra money?
Sure.
Right? Sharp. Internally. Which I find problematic. Then the second thing is, where would we find it? Who pays for it? Why? Because the fundamental basis of South Africa is that we will always tax people more.
Sure.
Unfortunately, this country has always thought about taxing people more rather than saying we'll trade more and get more money in. This stresses me out. Because that percentage, here's what's weird about the VAT increase thing, which I think is absolutely garbage, and it should not be done.
Okay.
It is the biggest cop out ever, because nobody wants to make the big decisions. No one wants to make the big. What is the big decision? We need to scrap REF.
Okay.
We need to scrap REF. It's 40 something billion. We need to scrap it. I'm saying scrap it.
Not
move it to another department.
Like, scrap it. Take 20% of what their budget was. Put it into another entity, like Department of Roads and Transport and whatnot. Get every single person in the country, when you go and you renew your license,
sure,
to pay once off fee.
Got you.
For the year.
Got you.
Even if you said to me it's 1,000, it's 100 rand a month or 1,200 rand, it'll still be cheaper than the petrol you put in and that 1 rand 50, 120 cents that they take per liter.
Because that's more.
It'll be more.
That equates to more in the end, if you think about how much petrol.
So rather, make us pay a once off when you renew your car, and then you move off that thing.
Because petrol is also petrol, diesel.
Yes.
Diesel is a consumable.
And it runs.
You need it for industry to run.
Yes.
And everyone is paying 1 rand 50 or whatever.
125 or 150 whatever.
Yeah. It works out to much more. If you had to pay that license disc fee on that one truck per year, it's better, more efficient system.
100%. Second thing, so you've scrapped 40 billion rand. I'm helping the economic cluster now.
Sure.
REF, scrap that thing. Also, lawyers are making like 10 billion rand.
And how much is REF? Sorry,
Zimasa. 42 billion.
42 billion.
42 billion a year. That's how much they collect off those 1 rand 20s per litre.
Yes.
The second thing you scrap is TVETs. I think the DA said that it's like 25 billion rand. I had never thought about this, but to me, as it currently stands, and I stand corrected, and if somebody has alternate information, they can give me this. I think that the CETAs, I think that the CETAs are actually surplus to what we need. I think training should be taken back into the departments that need to do the training.
Sure.
I think the Labor Department needs to do more, because they also have funds that come from UIF and other things.
Sure.
I think that those things should be training people. I think everybody who works can put money into a fund that actually trains other people who need to be upskilled. So
how much is
that? I found you 25 billion. We're at 65, almost 70 billion, right?
And again, that doesn't go to another department.
100%.
Okay. Yes.
Then there's simple things like sugar. We're talking about sugar just off air.
Sure.
The sugar tax brings in about 2 billion rand.
Sure.
You can easily scrap that. Then I don't know how much the small business department
makes.
When you say easy scrap. As in collapse it today, no longer exists.
Okay. Okay.
Take the salaries, which we still will pay, right?
Okay.
Put them into other units within existing departments.
That's
right?
What I'm trying to get at, okay?
Take 20% or 10% of whatever you need to pay their salaries, keep them in there, and then run the thing from another budget.
Sure.
From another department's budget.
Department.
Yeah. So no more seats. I put it into the department 100%. That actually needs it.
Put it into labor, put it into other departments. Then the last thing, small business development, the portfolio in this country, scrap it with all its ministers, deputy ministers, scrap the whole thing. It does nothing.
Sure.
Take that money, put it into this pile. I don't know how much the budget is. I'm sure it's probably like 10, 20 billion per year that department gets. They have got you to 100 billion or close to 100 billion. Then from there, take all of those small businesses, put it into trade. Trade and industry already runs the economy.
The DTI.
Let me deal with the DTI as a small business, right? Let me deal with the DTI as a small business. I've saved you 100 billion rand. I've gone twice what they were saying that there's a shortfall of like 50 billion. I've said I've got you 100 billion.
Mm.
These are the hard decisions that somebody's that got to make. To be, yeah. And that's
it,
where the
why are they
comes
not
from.
Making it? So let's say, for example,
politics.
You do politics of it. Who do you piss off? It's like there's a lot of decisions they don't make because they don't want to piss off the unions.
Yes.
There's a lot of decisions they don't make because they don't want to piss off the people who receive social grants. Because I think grants should also be scrapped. I don't agree with social grants. I think when you look at a lot of, not all of them, obviously old people, I believe, should get a masasa.
Because they've pushed, they've worked.
They've done their bit. That's it. 100%. But there's a lot of, it's like, you know, giving people unlimited number of child grants, I don't believe is smart. In other words, if I've got a child grant for one child, PH has got a child grant for 14 children.
Hey,
you know what I mean? Like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like,
I feel like
it's abuse of the system.
Yeah.
There needs to be... Bill Clinton, when he came in 1996, right? There was a thing that he wanted to do to reform Social Security and whatever.
Yeah.
And this is one of the things he mentioned, where he was like, okay, we need to have a cap and a time limit on how long we can give you a grant.
Yeah.
So if we say Waras has got three kids,
it gets you to a place where you can stand up.
You and your three kids, we can support you for 1 year. After 1 year, you need to show us that you've applied for X amount of jobs.
Oh.
You've applied for CETA.
That
something.
That would require an economy that works. And but departments
that's the
that
problem.
Work.
There you go.
And departments that work.
So I think we can't just keep.
The thing is, for the time that they're not working, we can't just keep lishaying this lorry. It's not working. That's also, they've increased the social grant. It's crippling the economy. It's a massive, massive bull.
It is. It's 20-something million people.
Really?
Yeah.
Unheard of. And I mean, when Nelson Mandela was president, it was something like 4 million people. So since 1998.
Like, we have got a huge structural problem here that, and I come to this thing of unions, and I know we touched on it a little bit. South Africa has to decentralize its unions. We can no longer have national unions. And this is a crazy idea, and I know I'm going to be called a neoliberal and all of these things. The issues that affect people in Gauteng don't affect the people in the same way in the Eastern Cape. We have to decentralize unionization in this country, because if you're a factory worker in Kariga plant at VW, and you're working fine and you're pretty chilled about your thing, but then the union workers or the automotive union workers in Roslyn at BMW have an issue, that then everything must stop in the country. No ways, bro.
When we've got no issue.
Yeah. Like, we're working nicely. We've just put 3,200 Polos and Polo GTIs onto a ship, and we're shipping them out all across the world.
We're moving.
We're working. Mm. The Oaks in Roslyn, Pretoria have an issue. The issue should be contained. We need to decentralize unionization. The other thing of unionization is that these Oaks take in the subs of the workers, right? Every single, and I swear to you, go back and go look at every single union and look at Google and find out when they were most searched or most doing stuff. It's when they know that they have to do something in order for the subbies for the next year to start working again. Mm. Because if they don't do something for a year and they don't fight for their workers, then it's like, why did we pay you this
year?
You understand what I'm saying?
Sounds like everything.
So it's a really terrible way. Well, look, I mean, we're not. Every forum had to make some noise, and this is unfortunately
like
the noise that they've made.
But the amount of noise that they've made compared to how much they raise, their fees are higher, and their pool of money is fucking enormous.
Yes,
but they don't take that money, like we were saying off air. It's like they use that money in a very, very clever way, because they put trained professionals, incredible people,
land
in charge of running it.
Land, equipment,
is that making sense, you know? Isn't this bonagala? But also, when they do something, for the people that they're doing it on behalf of, so the members of AfriForum, when they see Kali Krill and whatever, Spanbani and them, Ernst and them, going to America on Tucker Carlson's show,
they say our money's
like,
being used.
Yes,
just like union workers, when they used to see Bo Vavi on TV and other guys, they go, yeah,
it's
made
it.
Our mind is working.
Yeah, and they're hearing them on the biggest radio stations. He's speaking about this issue.
Yeah.
That sort of shows you that what I'm paying for is making a difference. Same with like AfriForum. They going to America, having those meetings, etc.
Their money is working.
Now they can work.
The donor money
is
working.
Yes. Yeah. Now they can work in peace
because they've
the
made
donor
noise.
Money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
To wrap up, I think.
Yeah.
We're not wrapping up, but obviously, I think just to get a better understanding of this VAT thing. So, is it firstly, okay, I think you've answered that right, and because you've then gone and said that no, there's better ways to
raise the money.
How do we move forward, and what does this mean? I don't know, from a GNU perspective. I think we touched on that, you know, from a
They're in a tough place. Tough place because I think there's two things happening at the same time. One, I think that there is an understanding that we are in a dangerous place fiscally, sure, financially as a country. Sure. So everybody kind of agrees on that. What's happening now is that there's a lot of politicking that doesn't need to be happening, which is happening, 100%. Even within the GNU. The DA is in Gov. The DA has not come in and said, you know what, we're going to cut 20% of all of our Gov departments. Mm. They could have easily done that. They could have easily said, you know what, we as the DA, as the custodians of this portfolio, agriculture, as comms, whatnot, all of these things,
we're going
to cut 20% of our budget. We're going to make our departments efficient by 20% minimum where we can.
Okay.
That would start to say to themselves, hey, Mariti, yes, man. But what have they done? They've kept quiet. They've made back dealings, which we're now starting to find and understand. They're also being accused of comfortable situations that they find themselves in now, where they run government departments. And they're saying, oh, this stuff is cushy. Because they're no longer the upstarts on the outside who are making noise. They are in power. So
inside. Enjoying the blue lights.
So
enjoying the blue lights.
Among other things. Exactly. So the GNU's got a bit of... They've got to figure a lot of things out. But I think there's a lot of missteps that are happening within the GNU as themselves.
Okay.
Because there's this kingmaker feeling that the DA has now gotten right.
Sure.
That we put you in power.
Sure.
Now, if the other oaks on the other side, MKP, EFF, and those guys, found themselves at a point where they could at least get into a round table with the ANC and have conversations, constructive conversations.
Sure.
You could see a breakup of the marriage.
Because you could actually see it. Yeah.
I want us to play a video just to add to what you're speaking on. Wandi, can you please play that video?
Unpleasant position that they've locked themselves into. This evening, John Steenhuisen made contact with me and said, where do we go now? And I said, John, the ball is entirely in your court. And he asked, does the ANC say we should leave the GNU? I said, the ball is in your court. You have put yourself in this position.
I think this speaks to, obviously, you're talking about the dealings that we now find ourselves in, where they found themselves in a cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
And it's actually adding to what you just said. You said now of, firstly, it's the dealings, but also how they've been operating.
Yeah.
Where they should be the kingmakers or...
They're in power. This changes things. Mm. You're no longer somebody.
You know what the president said? In the beginning of the clip, he said something interesting. He said... sometimes when your adversary is making a mistake,
let him continue.
And that was interesting for me because they are supposed to be the GNU. They're the Government of National Unity.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be this adversarial. What's with the adversary talks? They're supposed to be a unit.
You know what you've made me realize? That they don't have a joint political, ideological template that we can then say. All they did was to bring different parties' ideologies together to form a government, but they've not sat down and said, this is the GNU's manifesto.
Which should be a new one completely.
Yes.
It's a piece of yours, a piece of mine, a piece of...
And this
it can't be,
you know,
this
we
are together, but we follow my ideology because the DA is pushing this, the PA is pushing this, whatever.
Because then you've got neoliberalism in the DA.
Sure.
You've got what many are calling like centrists, but center-left politics from the ANC.
Oh, center-left is a bit of a reach. The ANC is still very...
communist.
Communist.
Oh, okay, cool. So
in an age where like...
Needed you to say that.
Fuck, bro.
But remember, ideologically...
Like, fuck, bro.
Ideologically and where the rubber meets the road are quite different things. The ANC is actually very much pro-business.
Sure.
Very much, yeah.
Very much pro-business.
Sure.
But ideologically,
yes. Which is where the conflict comes in, right? Which is where, funny enough, the factions of the ANC come in.
Sure,
because you've got people that want to push capitalism and progression. Then you've got guys that say, no, but what does Karl Marx say?
Yes, and you're like, yo. But that's because you've got people who want to do it, let's call it the right way for the purposes of the show, economics into politics. Yeah. And then you've got the politics into, let's sort out the politics, the rest of the shit will fall in line.
Yeah. Sure.
Let's do all of these cool, fucking amazing things for everyone all the time, but where does the money come from?
Yes.
They don't need to answer questions like that.
100%.
And those are the Karl Marx faction. Unfortunately, don't you think it needs this, let's not call it the opposition.
Yeah.
It needs the other members of the GNU to step in and say, okay, let us be responsible now because we're in a fiscal fuck up.
Yeah.
Ideology needs to pause so that we can sort out where we're going to find this money. Because now the type of ideas that are coming out are those rushed ideas.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, we're
desperate.
Like
we didn't
now.
Know. It's almost
now,
like we didn't know.
Yeah. So, we didn't know we're going to be in shit. So, we just spend this money willy nilly.
I'll give you an example, right? I think that there should be a core professionalization of the state. We should, going forward, look at our SOEs, look at how much they're doing, and reward the ones that are doing well at the same scale that somebody in corporate running a similar budget would be remunerated.
Mm.
That's a start, right? Then we can add the stick. That's the carrot. If you're running a 40, 50 billion rand unit, state-owned enterprise, that's cooking, that's doing well.
Sure.
Why can't we pay you 15, 20 million rand? Because you're not, not voted you in there.
Sure.
You got the gig. You're
trying to incentivize people for good
performance. Yeah, you're saying, bro, you, Edward, Kizveta, you're running SARS. If you collect 2 trillion and we put all these things.
He knows his story.
You know, if we give you 2 trillion. If you
when is he leaving that one?
No, you must go again.
He's a bit too good.
When is he leaving this one?
No, you must go again. So. So the other thing is that...
And then Kizveta is a good example. Yes. And then on the other side, you've got like Shamila Batoi. Is it?
I don't know why. Like who has the NPA actually sent to prison?
No one. Mm. When has she ever made a statement other than, you know, when we came in, the place was quite fucked, but we're working on it. But she's been saying that shit since she got on.
Sure.
And like we honestly, in fact, if I was to say there's a unit, a prosecution unit that's actually working in the country, it's SIU.
Yeah.
Because SIU and asset forfeiture, when you group them together, and we, funny enough, before... because you know what used to happen, guys? Mm. You go and you're corrupt and you steal money, right?
Mm.
You steal gov money. You steal a substantial amount of money, like 500-600 million.
Sure.
You use the same money to fight the state. So what SIU and forfeiture do is that they first freeze the money, then say, let's talk.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk. Now you can't, like, then you're willing to talk because you're like, I don't have money to fight the state.
Sure. Mm.
This is where those guys have done well. The NPA, unfortunately, and I'm not defending them to a point. You'd say those 100 billion will save. Take 20 billion of that and put it into our judicial system. If someone, Waras, stuffs you over right now and can't and doesn't want to pay you or you 5 million rand, you have to go to the commercial court, right? Fana, if you get a date within the next 18 months, you'll be lucky.
Yeah, that time your 5 million is gone.
Yeah. And then there's also the interest that you might never get. That person lives their life, right? They continue with their life. They owe you 5 million. You've sent them to court. The thing has been, it's there. It's on the record. But the list is saying, we'll look at this thing in 2027. January. When we first listen to it. Then the process starts. Yeah. So we've got a huge problem in this country of a judiciary that's not capacitated enough to actually do the work of following up on things that happen.
And that's exactly what it is. Okay, in our defense, she always says that's the reason. It's a capacity problem. So she's saying, cool, PH, we know that PH did XYZ, but we don't have the capacity to investigate PH. Now.
Auditing services, forensic auditing.
Yes. Well, I'm just using PH as an example.
What is it for?
Public service announcement. This man has done nothing wrong.
I just woke up today.
So that's where we are. So we've got a lot of things that are broken, but people always, in this country, they always, if you notice our conversation now, we are solutions orientated.
We're not in there.
Yes, but rather than people, general South Africans, we've given you more solutions for things in this show than you've probably heard in a long time about this country.
Yeah.
Sure. We can fix things if we start going there. Then the last thing is civic responsibility on how you fix things. Why does Cape Town CBD work? Why does the Mhlanga precinct work? Why does the Melrose District work in Joburg and the Sandton District?
You can tell us.
Melrose District works quite well, I tell you.
Oh, because of something called...
The fucking money we pay those dozen.
It's called a UIP, which is an Urban Improvement Precinct.
Sure.
Now, what is this? It's an organization of either people who live there or businesses.
Mm.
I think it's people at 60% plus that have to vote yes, and businesses, 50% of businesses have to vote yes. Then we will take more levies based mm-hmm. off the services that we need, security, cleansing, beautification of that area and that mm-hmm. precinct. That's defined. We pay a little bit more. Then we have our own private guys come to the cleaning, come to the security, like Bowaras and them.
The refuse removal, everything is refuse private.
Removal. Sure. This is but why just
on your
work.
Point of the more.
Yes.
Just to, and I'm not flexing, but it's a lot more.
Yes.
I mean, we were speaking about it the other day.
Sure.
Like, you know, they ask for a lot compared to.
Yes.
But it's honestly, it is what, worth it because.
And you see, where the money's going.
The other
thing is that municipalities then also contribute, by the way.
Sure.
So you basically say to a municipality, we have formed this urban improvement precinct as the residents and the businesses of this particular area.
Sure.
You now no longer need to worry about this area.
Mm.
You can take what was maybe 100 rand that you were giving to us and only give us 50 rand, and our guys will give us another 200 rand.
Sure.
And we'll get to 250 rand for per business, per whatever.
But we're saving
but
you,
we're saving you money.
Sure.
So you can take that money and put it into, let's say, Alex, or put it into another zone across the road.
Yes, but or chow it.
But what this district... Stop, man. This guy...
Come on, bro.
What this district will do is that it is going to look after itself.
Yes.
But we will not do bulk infrastructure.
Sure.
You must still do it as a municipality.
Yes, as a
because you've got a CapEx budget, a capital expenditure budget that you must still use.
Sure.
We're not going to fix the lights. We might design and say, we'll bring the pole, bring the thing, we'll buy... LED lights with solar. So
sure.
then you don't have to worry and about the usage
yes.
and whatever. Sure. So this is
and
what...
And the roads, they don't do the
So this
roads,
answers your question around what businesses and people are able to do to look after their communities in South Africa
sure.
almost immediately, guys.
Sure.
Almost immediately, you can start your street. You could start and say, these five streets in this extension, Kokasi, we will create our own UIP and we'll talk and say, do we want to pay an extra 100 rand a month to get Mbang Mbang with the truck to take our trash to whatnot and all of these things?
Sure.
This is something we can do.
I see it with Cape Town.
Yes.
I
even Mhlanga, the Mhlanga district. I think it's easy to say Cape Town. Guys, I was in Mhlanga last week or this week, actually.
Sure.
Yeah, last week. And I've made a video that's going to come out probably today, later on after this.
Sure.
The UIP, that is the Mhlanga Improvement Precinct, has done wonders,
you,
guys.
Which part? You Chato, went down
so
there
see,
by the,
you see where
by the Chato, village?
See where Radisson is now?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Chato. So that extension where they...
Radisson
the,
is...
The new mall. So the
Oceans.
Oceans.
Yeah. Yeah, Oceans, yeah.
Pearls.
Yeah, so
and
that
go
district,
up.
Yeah, and go up.
Your Mhlanga is
crazy
clean,
changes,
my
crazy
boy.
Changes, yeah.
There's literally wardens on almost every street corner. Mm. The place is clean. Trash is taken out in the morning. We went to the beach the previous day. There were maybe thousands of us there. It was like nice and warm. We were there. We chilled for a couple of hours.
Sure.
There was a lot of trash, whatnot. The next day, I went for an early morning swim. There was nothing.
I want
to. Baba.
I want to go back to Cape Town. Where,
yeah.
Yes, you can think of CBD and Camps Bay.
Yeah.
Bendisa Philippi, I think 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Not so long ago. And early morning, I'm seeing the people in City of Cape Town uniform, you know, cleaning. They were well represented in terms of firstly visibility, but also working on the ground.
Yes.
You know? So you see the argument sometimes of just like, oh no, these guys are just beautifying Cape Town and Lantadno and all that. I'm like, actually, no, these guys are doing a lot of work within
outside of the Atlantic,
you know, fixing and working with the communities. And I was like, I was thoroughly impressed. I was like, hey, maybe Jordan Hill...
On that
Lewis
point, BH, right, with Cape Town,
yeah.
right? I think Cape Town is a better example because it's the one that the most noise is made about.
Sure.
Yeah.
So the most noise is made by the DA and their supporters of how well Cape Town is run, which is supposed to be, I suppose, an assessment of how good they are, how good they can be national.
Mm.
I think the GNU is an example of how shit they can be national. But anyway.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
When you look at Cape Town, and I said this, I love how you articulated it because I knew it, but I didn't know how to phrase it.
Yeah.
Like what PH is saying, or to PH's example, that 100 rand that they're paying, if I live in Camps Bay, Sea Point even, that whole strip in jail,
sure.
Gershaw, Clifton, Lantana, Spanban, of that 100 now, you've got residents there who can say to the city, guys, we'll pay 80.
Yeah. Don't even worry.
You give us 20 and we will put another 300. Don't even worry.
Yeah.
That's how it is such an attractive place for tourists. Anybody that comes to Cape Town. Generally, you don't speak to a tourist who comes to Cape Town and says, fuck, it was dirty. Never. They come and they say, oh my God, one of the most beautiful cities in the world. And what I used to say is that because they've got so many rich people, they sort themselves out.
They're able to subsidize themselves.
Now, that 100, let's say it's 20. There's 80 left to put into Philippi, Cape Flats.
That's true.
My thing is, do they still not have enough to go around? And if so, is it because once you start putting in population volume, density of people, in Melrose it works because there's not a lot of us there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In Hillbrow, you can tell the whole community. there's not a lot of us. And please don't come. Right,
they found us.
Yeah, we're okay, bro. And I can tell you, there's peace between Palestine and Israel in Melrose.
Wow.
We've got Muslims this side, Jews. They don't even fight. So I don't know what you niggas in courts are going about.
Higher LSMs don't generally fight. They don't fight.
But right, so my thing is, once we come to the density problem, can that thing still be applied? Because if you have to go into Hillbrow, you could probably set up a similar thing because there's buildings in Hillbrow with 2,000-3,000 people living in them who work.
Let me tell you why you can't.
Yeah.
So I'll give you a simple example. Again, I've got a video of this. It looks at the cleansing services. I can tell you Cape Town spends 2.2 billion rand on cleansing services. This is cleaning, de-griming the city, etc.
Sure.
Of that, I think 26 million rand goes to cleaning highways. So that their highways look clean when you go from the airport to the main
thing. Concrete
and those highways, by the way, are owned by SANRAL and they should be cleaning. But that's another thing.
And those are proper highways.
But I will say, SANRAL, very well run. So then you go to, they collect 1.7 million tons of trash a year, Cape Town, right? This is going to be important. 600,000 of that is actually privately collected, by the way. So businesses within the V&A district, they take their own.
600,000 of 1.7 million 600,000 tons.
Yes. 600,000 tons is taken by businesses to the landfill.
About 30%.
So, 100%. So they do that. Durban has a similar budget. I think 2.1 billion rand for cleansing services. They do, I think, 1.8 million tons of trash. Etegwini. Durban, Etegwini.
Which is interesting because they've got double the population.
How much do you think Jozi is?
Less from the sound of things.
Jersey's got triple the population, so I would assume
4.4 billion rand.
Yeah.
How much do you think trash they take?
The city, private.
Yeah. No. Everyone. How much do you think?
Jersey has.
Yeah, Jersey. 1.5 million tons. Jesus,
what the fuck? Christ. It's the same. It's less.
But from double the amount of people.
Oaks.
Triple. I'm telling you, we're not getting bang for buck here.
Wait.
Hey,
let me hear your example.
Again.
Sitata less.
Mana, yes. Man. Cape Town, Utata 1.7
million. 1.7
million. 600 is done by private.
Yes.
So in other words, 1.1. Cape Town City.
Yes. Sure.
Durban,
1.8.
Yonk ASC.
For 2.1 billion, around the same as what Cape Town has in terms of Durban.
Numbers.
Durban Waste Management, DSW, WS. Yes.
Right. And then Joburg is less.
Less trash taken to the landfills.
Triple the amount of people.
4.4 billion.
Rand.
Yes, budget every year.
Double their budget.
Yeah, bro.
So how even if
we say Josie, right, is not taking enough trash, they at least need to be doing 3 million tons.
Yes.
A year. Even if...
I refuse to believe that the tonnage that they're taking is all the trash because most of that shit is in Hillbrow.
Hold on.
They're not taking the trash.
Guys, the efficiency of our government is at an all-time low.
I've got about three...
properties.
Wow. I've got about three estate WhatsApp groups that I'm in.
Yeah.
So,
properties, yes.
Yeah,
and
well,
of those, Home Owners Association.
of those three, I see too many complaints of pick it up is not operating.
Picking it up.
It's not picking it up. Or whether it's pick it up for most of Johannesburg.
Yeah,
right?
It is pick it up.
Does that contribute to what you're just saying?
Yes.
Now?
Yes, guys.
This is,
they're funded from that 4.4 billion.
It'll be from this one and the other. It's just like, this week, no, these guys are striking, whatnot. Please watch your bins. Don't take them out.
Yes. Yes. Oh. Yes, PH. That's what's going on. The more you understand from a civic perspective and civic level what's going on in your cities, in your regions, in your provinces, you then start to understand why there is a gross mismanagement of funds in this country.
Yes.
Like that simple example of trash,
yes,
is it touches on everyone. A cleaner place gives off a better feeling. 100%. It's the broken window theory. 100%. They say if one window is broken in a neighborhood, then people feel like they can do whatever they want. Sure. They can piss on the wall. They can literally start to, they can set up, they can start to deal sweets and bananas next to a traffic light. Like, things degenerate. The city of Johannesburg, guys, there is a lack of aggression here to fix things. Sure. Aggression.
Sure.
One day, literally, go and clean up the sidewalks of Johannesburg. No one can trade there. But we will create, like we've always done in the past, we will create an avenue. I think there's a road called, is it Kerk? Kerk Street, or there's a market in town. They literally closed that street down and allowed people to sell on that market. That's what we need to do. Cancel everybody on sidewalks so that people can actually use sidewalks.
You get them in Fordsburg. There's Fordsburg Square, which is essentially a market.
You that's can what buy you do.
From bananas to electronic appliances. So yes,
if you sell that stuff, we're not saying don't sell. We're saying don't sell here.
Yeah,
sure.
Create a mall situation, and all the city needs to do is literally cover the area and then say, everybody, there are 300, 400 spots here. Sure. And what you have to do is pay 150 rand a month for you to sell here, or 100 rand. Mm. But we've created the space. There'll be security. There'll be whatnot. We need civic organizations. And the reason why this is not happening in the CBD is because a lot of those people are not South African citizens.
No, they're not.
Yeah. So they cannot form UIPs, right?
Yeah.
They can't form urban improvement precincts to go and sort out the problems because there's not enough South Africans.
They don't even have proof of residence.
Exactly. Mm. So all of this stuff that we're having, it's cascading down from the fact that we have limited rule of law in this country. Sure. That's one.
Mm.
But the other thing is that we need a proper consensus so that we can fix things. We need to make the tough decisions at the top.
Yeah, sure. But that rule of law point is not what I will say about police. I work with a lot of police and in security. I work with a lot of, you know, like security specialists, if you will. There are people who are very, very good at their job.
Yes.
But they are simply overwhelmed by the numbers. Yes, right?
NPA has got to do their gig.
That's it, right?
NPA has got to do their gig.
The issue you have with the rule of law thing is, I don't think it's ever been prioritized high enough on the priority list.
True.
Where there's other things that were put first, and it was almost weakened.
Yes.
After apartheid.
Yes.
Coming into the new diaspora.
Yeah, so it's,
because remember, we have trauma there.
Yeah, things could be murky.
That's it. There's trauma there to say, police need to be less heavy-handed. You know what I mean?
Because police force versus police service.
Thank you,
so
sir.
How they change
police
those names?
Police force versus the police service.
Yeah.
So that it almost gets this air of, I relax on. People will sort themselves out. They don't.
They don't.
Yeah. And when you allow shit to get out of control, it usually does.
You create, area cartels, which then become mafias, which then become
organizations. Buildings are getting hijacked. That, you know, I think people actually underestimate what a big fuck up that is.
The cascading of crime from petty crime all the way to organized crime. The government worries a lot about organized crime, and I want to say this, and maybe you can...
And backwards, organized to petty.
But you can't police somebody with a knife who then stops PH getting out of his car and says, you can't police that.
Mm.
But you can police guys that systematically steal cell phones by the thousands every single day and send them to a particular place, which then sells them to another service, which then suddenly
they send them to one particular road. If your phone is stolen,
everyone knows.
You go and you look on find
if
my
I
iPhone.
If I know that all phones end up in Lilian Ngoyi, how can the national intelligence not
and have
know?
You been there?
Huh? I've been to Lilian Ngoyi.
So this is the beauty of Lilian Ngoyi. I've been there many times. In fact, I know a lot of the guys there. That you call them reliable sources.
Yeah. Snitches.
Nah, like, if you want to avoid, you know.
Mpimpi.
Yeah.
Sure.
Safety first. When you get there, uthola umuntu from Malawi. That's the other thing. There's no South Africans there. Sorry. I've been there. I'm telling you, there's no South Africans.
Yeah.
Mm.
The guys, A, they pretend like they can't speak English, okay? Because everyone is trained. When you get there, you've got, you know, that counter that they keep in a cell phone shop. Mvagwayo is like those shelves where there's all these cell phones. Bro, you left cell phones there from Samsung D500 to 3310. All the way to now. But now inqamukile, it's broken, and then they're like, ah, yeah, you can look, you can
you
look.
You can see there's nothing.
But I'm talking thousands in one counter from the size of from me to you.
Sure.
Imagine that counter times 5,000. It extends across the whole school. You'll never find it.
Lilian Goy.
And everybody starts doing the same thing when you arrive there with the police and with enforcement. They go, ah, 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 look, look. They start throwing the phones at you like, ah, you're persecuting us type of thing. Do you know what I mean?
And then Helen Suzman will defend them.
Then there's NGOs there that will say, this man is running a small business and
you are persecuting him. He's a refugee.
They're running a small business.
And the solution is obviously the more noise you make, the quicker you get clapped. Because we're there to find a phone, as an example.
Yes.
So, now, like Zim says, everybody knows that's where the fucking phone's
in. Everybody knows.
Find my iPhone is telling me that
Lilian
the phone is there. So we need to shut that whole place down. And you and your small business need to pause. All that shit you keep behind your counter, which is actually just electronic waste parts. Let's have an electronic waste collect. You'll pay you for it.
Yeah.
But you can't have 100, 200 phones. You don't have that many clients, my brother.
Sure.
And no one is looking for parts for a Samsung T500.
Zero.
That's
zero.
It. So it's that lack of proactive policing that leads to this issue where it then goes up the crime pyramid.
Because now those people, the money that they get in and they aggregate, they start to give to other organizations, which then start to do Wahala men operations, and then they fund terrorism, and then we get grey-listed as a country.
Yes.
This is you think it's just phones?
Sure.
No, it goes up the pyramid, like what I was saying. Then we get to a point where these guys are funneling money to other areas of the world that are funding actual terrorists.
Sure.
That's it.
This is the story of urban decay, right? But yeah, I want to speak... I think on another thing which has happened recently, it's his favorite person, Trump, on the tariffs, where he's obviously, you know, sent out a list of all the countries in the world or most of the countries that
they
trade.
Not all of them, because Russia wasn't there. We're all looking at the list.
Yeah,
we're like, hey, where's Russia?
I wanted to ask, but yeah. So obviously he sent out a list of countries that they are going to either match
he held up a sign
like show and tell. It was China. Doing show and tell.
Yeah,
it's like if you look here, like,
oh, South Africa, they're doing really bad things.
Sounded like an
terrible order. Things happening.
Terrible things
for the layman in South Africa. What does that mean?
Okay,
for someone who doesn't understand that percentage that has been put next to the country. What does that mean?
The noise is dying down a little bit, and we can now start to have this conversation.
Sure.
Look, the calculation from Trump and what they've done is absolute nonsense. You can go online. What they've done, they've taken the trade deficit that they have with other countries, not taking into consideration that America doesn't have these, and there's something called competitive advantage in economics where you must do what you can do best in and not try to compete in a thing that you can't. South Africa has minerals. We have various other things that we can do that we sell to the U.S., right? So obviously we sell more to them because they're a
consume. They consume. Yes.
They're the world's biggest consumer. So obviously everybody would have a deficit. Sure. They would have a deficit with everybody else in the 100%. World, right? It just doesn't mean that there is something nefarious going on, right? Because they make up for it in other areas. Sharp. Yeah. So he holds up this thing based off like that trade imbalance. And then they made some wonky thing, which everyone says is from ChatGPT, which then ends up dividing. Like, it's absolutely nonsensical, and I don't even want to. You can go find it online, right? It's people that explain this thing really well. But the consequence of that is that America has now basically pointed a gun at everybody. These also have been the biggest bullies on the planet for a long time. Sure. They've now pointed out a gun at everybody at the exact same time. They said, hey, hands up.
Sure.
Now we sit here and we go, firstly, mainstream media in South Africa will make it as if it's just South Africa. Firstly.
Obviously.
It's
when
just,
we are so just small.
It's better for the narrative.
Was it Kari Creel who posted
he tried that thing.
Dumb.
Remember, the fees they pay every month.
They have to do something. Noise. They've got to make noise. Yes. So then what Trump is saying, he's saying he wants to rebalance and make more money off that. But what he's not understanding is how economically this thing works. Those tariffs are meant to actually not... They're meant to do two things for America. They're meant to bring in money into America through the tariff, right? Where we give you just enough pain where you go, I don't hate it, but they've still got the biggest market, so I'll pay the I'll kind of like figure it out. But their people kind of pay. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Their people are gonna pay for the 25% more on the thing or the 30% more
in the end.
Then the second thing was that it was there to try and get more businesses to create products and to bring
within
manufacturing.
America, yeah.
Into
the,
America.
The irony of this is that if you understand how nations go from being like third world to first world, is that you start to leave first sector, primary sector activities like the farming, the mining, the whatnot, and you start to manufacture things, package things,
yeah,
sure. And move up to more higher value products.
Yes.
That's why America has reached the service number one. I don't understand why Trump and his people don't understand this.
Yeah.
You are in the position that you are because you've moved away from primary things and you are now bringing those things in, like what China does, because China is no longer as primary as what people think.
Yeah.
China,
they've outsourced that to India, Bangladesh,
Vietnam.
Yeah.
They are high-tech makers, packagers, manufacturers of stuff, and they also do services now, a lot more. Mm. So,
and the primary stuff that they do
yes.
is the stuff that they do on a scale.
Yes,
that
is
no
so
one else
massive.
Can match.
Yes, mm, like if they take, for instance, minerals from South Africa,
sure.
they're not mining it, they are smelting
it
and making it into steel.
Yeah.
You understand? So for them, it's their manufacturing stuff. This is what America does to a certain extent. But America even moved up higher on the pyramid than what China was. They started to now do business services and to do this reselling. And also because the dollar is so strong,
sure.
has propped up a lot of their consumer market. Because America is we've got to buy, buy, buy. If the buying slows down in America, they're going to go into a recession.
Mm-hmm.
This is not me trying to be like,
sure.
it's fact. They're going to go into a recession.
Sorry, speaking of recession, I think this past weekend I was watching one of the analysts speaking of another side play that,
yeah.
Trump and his cronies or his boys will be ready to purchase a lot of the industries because it's better to buy when the chips are down as opposed to...
Maybe that's the third like, hand that Waras talks
yeah,
of.
Yeah, as in it's a longer play.
Yeah.
As in like, cool,
yeah, BlackRock will pick off people at another... And
like they
Blackguard,
did with the Panama Canal.
Vanguard, yeah. And just like what they did
sure.
with banks in 08 and
sure.
all of that
but,
stuff.
But that still then falls into the organogram of their control. Because
yes.
if BlackRock is in charge of it,
or Vanguard,
we can control
or Main Street,
BlackRock.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You mean the American government is still the biggest mafia.
So here's what you've also, what you've got to understand the other side of it. What they've done, the US has always bullied people in small silos.
Sure.
We're bullying the Middle East.
Yeah.
So everyone kind of stays out. We're bullying these other guys here in Afghanistan.
Mm.
We are here in Yemen. We're bullying these guys. We're bullying those
Yemen.
Guys.
Mm.
They've now made the unenviable, or I'd say the very fortuitous era of bullying everyone at the same time.
Sure.
So then everyone started to go, hold on. This thing could happen to anybody.
Sure.
So now you're starting to see people start to become or think to become more self-sufficient as countries
sure.
or to then spread their risk away from America.
Sure.
If this was America's way of trying to solidify the strength of the dollar globally, they've gone the wrong
Big
way.
Fuck up.
Mm.
Because now people are like, yeah, because I can't even sell my products to the US because my product becomes materially more expensive when it lands in America because of the tariff. That's people who buy less. So why do I need to keep dollars?
Sure.
To then make it easier for me to transact with America, and I will transact less with America.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, they've gone the other way.
Yes, but the gamble is he's
countries
doing it so fast.
Yeah.
Okay. That for that period of time that you come to that realization and start making those moves.
Yeah.
You're gonna die. You're gonna die in the window period between okay, fuck you, America. We're gonna do it ourselves or find other markets and finding them. Canada's pissing in the wind. I'm thinking more in terms of the European Union. If they had to unite and say, okay, we're drawing a hard line.
But isn't that what's happening
now? So they've
already
started.
They've started, but
they don't have
it like that.
So here's the irony, right?
Yeah.
J.D. Vance goes to a Security Council in Europe and
yes,
tells them
he tells
shit.
Them they're fucking
sure.
stupid.
Tells them that all of you guys are stupid.
Sure.
You don't understand how this thing works and you should be protecting yourselves.
Sure.
So where does Europe go? Europe has their own conference outside of America. They sit there and say, Oaks, what are we going to do about this?
Sure.
Everybody says, okay, we're going to bolster up our defenses. America says, yeah, they'll finally put more into NATO. Do you know what, they do? They go buy their own. They go to BAE Systems. Also, these are the same guys, arms deals.
Arms
South Africa.
Deal
but anyway,
guys,
we're not there. So they go to BAE Securities. They go to all their defense contractors in Europe and say, gents, you guys are going to get thrown with money.
Mm. Sure.
Make stuff here.
Sure.
Now J.D. Vance goes, hey, you're supposed to be buying our stuff.
Yeah.
They said, no. You threaten countries that when they buy F-35 planes, which are the best in the world, supposedly, right, probably are, you can switch it off with a kill switch.
The
why am I going to buy something that when I'm at war, if I happen to not be in a place where you, like me, using this particular machinery, you can switch it off remotely. Yeah.
Reaper drones
boy,
as well.
We're going to go buy our own stuff. We're going to go buy our Gripens from Saab and whatnot. Yeah. And all these other guys also part of the arms.
Right, I hear you. Yes. But the problem is, like I say, the speed with which it's happening is going to be a problem. Because Europe can and say we're going to... For everyone. Imagine a scenario in which no one is actually ready.
Yeah.
You are right.
Yeah.
100%. They all need to take a serious look at, okay, we need to lessen this dependency on the dollar and lessen this dependency on America buying from
and
us.
Supply and chains. American supply chains.
But because Trump is moving at a pace of knots, in the short-term future, it's not going to happen.
Yes.
Right? So, which means America is going to make a shitload of money and become very powerful. The question is, and honestly, this is a Warwick opinion.
Yeah,
right?
sure.
I think that the next term, because Trump is going, this is his second term and then he's out.
JD will probably go.
Right? So, let's say JD runs or whatever. That's where the rubber meets the road. Is these changes that you're making so quick, so fast, and so aggressively, are they going to last for another term? Because by that time, all of those defense contractors that they've now brought online, now they're moving. Sure. You understand? They're not going to be moving next month, but they're going to be moving in the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
At that point, how strong is America to sustain that aggression, to sustain that attitude?
That's so interesting. I'll answer you in two things. There's going to be half-term elections in America, so midterms.
Midterms, yes, after 2 years.
Midterm elections. Yeah. That's why they've got to move this fast, by
that
the way.
That one is like our municipal
stuff, right? Yeah. Sharp, there's midterm elections where a lot of seats will be up, Senate seats, some Congress seats, etc., and then judges as well. So 2 years is their thing. So you see Trump's thing as 4 years, but Trump is gunning for 2 years. He says, I need to do everything in 2 years. Sure. There's a thing called Project 2025. Go read up on it. It's spectacular. This is literally, he's done all of the things on that thing, right? Mm-hmm. The other thing is this. Waras.
Yes.
It took, maybe this is a terrible example, but it's still an example. It took Russia almost 18 months to get their production for their wartime production going. From when it started, the special military operation started, to when they were at full tilt, 18 months.
Yeah.
So with the urgency that is needed from Europe and other people to move away from America in terms of critical sectors and industries, 18 months is more than enough.
I believe the Chinese
18, would also. 18. Don't even look at China. Months, China's spectacular. Okay. I'm saying Europe, I've never seen Europe move this fast, by the way. I've never seen Europe move this fast on anything. The complaints that America has on Europe, some are valid, some are just wily, right? They want Europe to buy more of their food. Europe's like, we're good with our food. Sure. We don't want GMOs. But America's like, but you're not buying more of our corn or soybean or whatever. Sure. They're like, we don't like that because we've got different laws. Gotcha. Leave that thing. The weapons thing is different. They've said, we've let our defense contractors dip. Let's put more money into them and let's defend ourselves. Let's put boots on the ground in certain key states and areas within our purview. Sharp, that's fine. What is happening now is at the speed of light where Europe has said, everybody's got to make money available, guys. If you're with us on the European project, you've got to make money available and the money's got to hit now and we've got to build things now. Yeah. I don't think Europe takes more than 2 years to get ready. I don't think so.
And Africa?
I don't think so because it's urgent. The way that Trump is moving, he's moving wildly for everyone. Sure. Everybody understands the urgency that has happened. Now, I understand that Trump has maybe not factored in a lot of things because a lot of people are now pushing back. Mexico, Canada is a start. He's not realized how interconnected things are because immediately cars get expensive.
Yes.
Because what's happened with Canada and also
because he's insisting
Mexico,
on American cars instead of... Yeah.
Yes, American cars. They are American cars, but they're made in Canada and Mexico. And a car goes back and forth like six times before it's actually finished. So now the supply chains all go up 25% and cars become more expensive. Now, I don't see a positive outcome on that, but I want to see it through. He's said to South Africa, we impose a tariff of whatever. He's given us, 30% or something, 34% or something like that, of this wonky calculation that he's done. But what we need to understand about that is that America has done us a favor. We need to relook at every country that we are heavily indebted and dependent on. We need to start looking and say, $440 million, from PEPFAR for HIV services, research and whatnot. We need to be like, Are we sure we can't fund that thing somewhere halfway? Are we sure we can't find that money from different places? Go to China, ask for maybe 100, go to someone, spread the risk. One country giving you $440 million is mad. And what happened is that our politicians became so lazy that they allowed this money. They started to count that money that's being given as a grant.
Sure.
As part of our budget. Homie, nobody moved and said, no, hold on. Maybe, hey, I know America's been giving this thing for us for 5 years. Maybe, is there no way we can find a way around it? Because, sure. Hey, the Americans are moving shifty. They get into meetings and say, but guys, the AGOA, PEPFAR, they start naming all these things.
Consider these things, Oaks. Acronyms.
Yeah. They say, guys, consider all these things, man. We don't want to have to relook at them.
Sure.
And then you go, ish, minister. Then your minister of trade and industry is like, ish, okay. Because now that money, that $440 million to you is now part of the South African budget. Sure. It's not. Our politicians need to go relook how and who we are dealing with and what agreements were signed eons ago, and then sit down with all of us and tell us, guys, this is what's there. There are some bilateral and multilateral agreements that we are part of that we don't know what was signed.
Sure.
We don't know what was signed. Mm. You could find something as simple as like internet.
We'll find out what was internet. Signed, but not now.
Internet. Mm. Let's say internet connection. Sure. Seacom cables.
Sure.
I don't know. Do we charge for Seacom cables? I don't know. Do we charge for internet? Like, who pays what? Do you understand? The infrastructure.
Yes. Who covers the cost of the actual infrastructure?
Like, I don't know.
The infrastructure needs to be installed in order for the Wi-Fi to work.
Exactly. And that's why Starlink is such a huge thing. I've got mad Elon supporters, Afrikaners, in my comments because I made a video about Starlink and why it makes absolutely zero sense in South Africa.
Mm.
South Africa is the number one country with the most satellites in Africa. Jesus. I think we're like 12 or something. 12 to more than 12 satellites in the sky.
Mm.
Botswana goes and gets Starlink. I'm going to say why.
Because they could have used ours.
Bro, like something, they're trying to divide SADC.
Sure.
Like, there's absolutely no need for Botswana to say, we need our dedicated satellite when you are as dependent as you are on South Africa.
Sure.
This is the truth.
Yes.
This is not me making this up. This is the truth. They could have easily said, guys, we're going to rent a dedicated spot on your satellites that are already up there to give us weather services. And these are things that are critical. Because are you going to war, Botswana?
With who?
You're probably not. You don't need dedicated satellites to do other than the basics to rainfall, weather patterns for your farming, crops and whatnot. Mm. That's what we use our satellites for mainly, and then telecommunications, right? So then you ask yourself, are we going to risk our entire telecoms backbone of the country, which is some of the best in the continent, if not the best, are we going to risk that on the basis that we want this Oak who uses Starlink as a political pawn in a game where he says, I'll switch it off in Poland?
I think the more concerning thing, the switching off in Poland, remember, because they're at war, I think it's extenuating circumstances.
But that's when you need the telecoms.
The more concerning thing is the data that it collects.
Yes.
Because there is a school of thought that Elon is buying up what he's buying up and installing what he's installing for the purposes of data collection.
Yeah,
and if you look at what he's doing in artificial intelligence,
with XAI,
Starlink's inclusion can become very dangerous.
Yes.
But in the Starlink chat, and I tweeted about this, right?
Yeah.
Where I said, you don't also want to get to a point as a country where the reasons they were excluding Starlink.
Yeah.
Weren't what you mentioned now.
Yeah.
Those are good reasons.
Yeah.
That's a chat we can have as to, we don't need this shit. We have 12 satellites of our own and we have the best telecommunications infrastructure in the world. Why do we still have rural kids going to school where there's no internet, there's no computer lab, there's fuck all? That's what we need to address with the existing infrastructure. Can we? Why aren't we? Elon is coming on the steam of, I can bring Starlink. Remember the way that Starlink's messaging in the world is that, we've got a thing that if we put it in your country, we will reach areas like during the floods in America,
in the
Ukraine war. We will reach areas that you can't stop us. And we will help those poor Ukrainian soldiers. We will help those people who are destitute standing on their cars because there's a flood.
Yeah.
With simply the Starlink pad, that pad that you put on the ground is this big.
Yeah.
And then the satellite is up there. Boom, you've got internet. I was saying, he's being excluded from the South African market because of the PEE laws. Remember? He said, fuck that, I'm not making 30% PEE. I want to just come in. And then obviously the whole of Twitter and everybody was like, well, fuck you. You have to follow the rules or you can't come here. I'm saying the concerning thing is the data.
Yeah.
On the South Africa Starlink argument, the concerning thing was the BEE. And that is the discussion we were having.
I understand.
They
your
were
point.
Not saying
I understand your
we
point.
Shouldn't have Starlink because we don't need it. They yeah. were saying, no, he must pay.
But,
in other words,
but luckily
if he agreed to the BEE, we would have had Starlink.
But I then again, for the proponents or the people that are for Starlink, I then say to you, is he going to bring Starlink here at an affordable thing? That's one. Two, the people who already have established businesses here, guys, I will unapologetically protect South African businesses and businesses that pay tax in this country. Sure. I will do that.
Yes.
Because I will protect MTN. MTN is a South African treasure.
Sure.
We must never sell that thing off as a country. It's our thing.
Yeah, and it's brilliant.
It's amazing. MTN is a well-run company that does like $9 billion in profit or something ridiculous like that.
Yes.
In dollars. You understand? It's massive. I don't want to stress MTN. Even people like Cell C, Vodacom, Telkom, Telkom Mobile and all these guys, we have a decent enough. What we then can do is to create opportunities for those guys to then sort out your problems, Waras.
Yes.
Give them the mandate off. To say, we have a problem here. We need minimum 3G in all areas in South Africa. Sure. Minimum 3G that can work.
Yes.
Not claim 3G. It must work. We are giving you 10 years to make sure that rural areas are covered with 3G so I can at least make a proper call.
Please send a WhatsApp.
A WhatsApp,
that's the problem,
yes.
Is that mostly now, we exchange data, not calls.
But then
so
you've seen...
So we need 4G.
100%.
Yeah.
And then you've seen companies like MTN and others consider selling off and hiving off parts of their telecoms infrastructure, like their towers and stuff like
towers,
that.
Towers, yeah.
Which is them basically just going back to their core services, which is we now have clients... We can hive off this thing like what a business will do and say, I'm not really in logistics and I have 200 trucks and what I really do is that I sell beer.
Sure.
Right? Mm. I don't really need the trucks. Like what SAB and SAB. Did in that time today, then basically that's what they're doing. So we need to look at that and say, as an industry, we have a problem. We need coverage. Because it's easy for us to control an MTN, a Vodacom to a certain extent, an SLC and a Telkom Mobile because it's owned by the state. Mm. But it'll be harder to control a foreign state actor, which is what Starlink is. It's a foreign state actor.
We won't be able to control it at
all. You'll never, bro. Yeah. The data won't even sit in South Africa.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right? That 30% means squat. Because we will have a proper security problem. Mm. And
no, it doesn't mean squat. That's the problem. Is that the 30% means more of our elite black leaders fantastically rich.
That's why I mean squat.
Yes.
Because
And the real chance of that happening.
Yes.
You see, because you know these niggas, dog. They'll sell us out. Let's just keep it real.
No, because you know what us? Mm. Here's actually another thing. If you were to do this properly, you would basically then say, the 30% Starlink that's coming to South Africa will be floated on the stock exchange, right?
Mm.
And the BE component, as a black person, you can buy up to X amount of shares, and that's it.
Like the Telkom
then
share offer, but done properly.
Yes, remember then it truly becomes something that's democratized. So you could say, I own X amount of Starlink. That is, I don't even want Starlink here. Because there's the other security issues. It's the other
security issues. And can we agree? Because
yes.
I have said publicly, I want Starlink here.
Yeah.
The other security issues, I've also changed my mind because I read more.
And
like
you're allowed to.
It's, let me not say changed my mind. I educated myself on the topic more.
Yeah.
The BEE thing, if that was the question.
Wrong basis.
Fuck that.
Wrong basis. Yeah.
Wrong basis. I think the BEE thing should be scrapped.
The security
We
thing.
Should not be threatening
leading,
companies that can genuinely
that.
Benefit us
with
you must put 30%. Fuck that. That's a shit plan. And I believe it disadvantages the collective. In favor of whoever this 30% is, you understand? That one, I'm there. But the data, I think that the data is of extreme value. It's worth, certainly worth more than 30% BEE.
Because imagine. Let me give you a simple scenario. Mm. Imagine your president or any other high-ranking person who's in a rural area, and then they make a call to another world leader, and then it links to Starlink.
And they hear exactly. Hey! Yes. Now you hear the discussions that are taking place.
Because also there's that bastard. That bastard Paul Kagame, and I call him a bastard because I'm never going back to Rwanda. I've been there. I'm never going back there.
Yeah.
Right? He tapped the president's phone.
What?
Using Pegasus. Eba makugula lapho. Guys, I must. Yes.
But Kagame is. Actually, Kagame is a.
No, we've sorted him out.
He's a serious mover.
No, we've sorted him out. He's quiet now. He's been talking now. He hasn't been talking.
But
do you know why?
Because we have one about.
No, because he's been used as a political pawn. Sure. Because they wanted to get the Colton out.
Yes, the Colton, yes.
So, what you've got to understand is that espionage at that level happens so quickly. Easily. Or not even the president. Take somebody. I don't want to mention anyone's name, but take somebody who's close to the president.
Sure.
Being in the rurals, and I've got this person in mind.
I've got
and,
her too.
Yeah. And she makes a call, right? On something important. And she's got highest clearance, obviously, to be around the president.
Mm.
So obviously her phones and whatnot are secured every single week, probably.
Sure.
Right? By SSA, who's another tricky agency, but don't do anything to me. So she makes a call and she says something on that phone. And it links to Starlink. It doesn't link to Vodacom or any of the other guys that we have more control over.
Sure.
Boom. And then now
information
they know.
Leaked.
No, President, uzobe figure what time somewhere somehow.
Sharp. I'm shang it drone or some damn shit.
You understand what I'm saying? So there's a massive shortfall of things that we have to look at. Mm. And we've got to look at also how we are building our own internal capabilities for defense in this country.
On your point, Rwanda's targets for cyber spying, the government of President Paul Kagame has apparently put more than 3,500 phone numbers on the last list.
Yeah.
On the list, sorry, since 2016. The Pegasus Project, which is an investigation by a consortium of international media and NGOs, revealed how Pegasus spyware of Israeli company NSO Group was abused by government clients to spy on journalists, activists, and politicians.
Yes, sir. That's how it works.
50,000 phone numbers were apparently specified as belonging to persons of interest by NSO clients. And the leak showed that at least 7 African countries were among those clients, including Togo, Morocco, and Rwanda.
Yes, and we're also not going to excuse... We're not going to excuse the other countries, because the other countries, there was a thing where the Chinese government was put spyware at the African Union headquarters. Like, everybody's doing it.
On the phone call thing, because obviously we don't want to mention names, but I can also think of about 10. But imagine they listen to Ibrahim Traore's calls.
Yeah.
He's a problem, that guy. He is like Bukele of Africa.
Sure.
Listen to Traore's calls. Who is supporting him in his bid to take over his country's minerals and export? Big fuck up.
So you don't want that type of infrastructure to be owned by external players.
External forces. Sure. For the same reason they don't want TikTok to be owned by China.
100%.
Which is the irony
when it comes to the US and how they move. They move on this democratic motion based of how and where they can benefit.
But can I say this also, just to close it, right? Yeah. Is that I'll make a statement and then you speak to that statement. As a South African, I agree with you and I don't support it, right? But as a consumer of someone who watches politics and how niggas is moving, right? How leaders move. I 100% support Donald Trump and everything he's doing.
Of course
I was an American.
Of course
you No. This man is prioritizing his country, fuck everyone. Imagine I'm saying, in his mind, that's what he's doing. Am I right?
Yeah.
He thinks he's putting America first, bro. And the Americans who voted for him, what are they saying? They're saying that's our fucking guy. I cannot say that about my president. He doesn't seem to be moving in a way that benefits me or poor black people. And he doesn't seem to be moving in a way that I believe he's taking the country forward.
So I'll give you. All. So no, wait.
Let me call my right.
No. I want to fight. Don't let it land.
So that's the statement I'm making for the purposes of this discussion.
I'm not gonna sit here and defend Cyril 100%.
But President Cyril Ramaphosa.
President Cyril Ramaphosa, Matamela. But I will say this: out of all the black presidents that have come, when it comes to actual acts, bills, laws, rules that are pro-black, he's been there. He's been rolling them out. The unfortunate thing is that
he hasn't been implementing them from where I'm sitting.
100%. And that is an inherited system that he has not fixed himself. And that's where his fault is. Because a lot of the laws that came in, whether it was NHI, the restructuring of BEE and a lot of other things, the Land Expropriation Act, all of these things, they've come from him. They didn't come from Azuma. They didn't come from other guys. Now, we need to have that discussion. Maybe he's not the guy. Maybe his thing was to arrive and make sure that the things get passed. The next guys have to take over.
Who would that be? And that's,
unfortunately, the big question in South Africa. But to close off the thing, Trump and what they're trying to do, like what President Ramaphosa has said, when your enemy or your supposed friend is making an error, don't interrupt. Move out the way. Move out the way. Let Trump do his thing. I made a video saying that why Trump is important for Africa and why he had to be president. I still stick by that video because I always knew he was going to be inward looking and that was going to change the global dynamics.
African leaders.
America first.
Let him do it because then the whole, you know what, there's a very interesting term that people must Google around democracy. Rules-based order. Trump has literally put a blowtorch to that thing. Okay. There are no rules anymore. There are no diplomatic rules. There are no trade rules. There are no military rules. It's been deconstructed. You can do whatever you want now. You can do whatever you want and know that there will be consequences. Whether you do or you don't, you're damned. Whether you are Lesotho and they're going to hit you with a 50% tariff. Yeah. In Lesotho, bruh, he hit Lesotho with a 50% tariff.
Sure.
Yeah.
Lesotho. This just shows you how nonsensical this entire thing is.
Lesotho.
But he knows Russia, hey, leave my Russian guys alone. Because because there's a very interesting thing happening because of global warming, Baltic Sea up there, not the Baltic Sea per se, the Arctic Sea at the top. It's melting and ships can go through there. Russia owns a lot of their land. Remember, guys, America and Russia is quite close, right? We just always look at the map from this side. Turn it around this way and you see that Alaska and America are really close.
Isn't there a point where in Canada you can not necessarily see, but it's quite close?
From Alaska, there's a point where you can see Russia.
Yes.
So they're not far. They're not far off from each other because Russia has a lot of landmass. These guys know that there are reserves of natural gas, oil that sit in that sea, which has never been tainted. No one's ever gone there and explored. And they're saying, bro, let's make a deal. That we remove some of these things out of the way. You stop this thing you're doing in Ukraine. We go into a pact and a deal. We figure this thing out. And we go in there and we start drilling in that ocean. And we create energy surpluses for our countries. And we become more chilled. I don't know how they're going to deal with the whole thing of the Nordic 2 stream pipeline being blown up by America.
Nord Stream.
I don't know how they're going to deal with that.
Because that's a massive fuck up.
Russia put so much money.
And who does it fuck the most? Europe.
Yes, because now they can't get natural gas from Russia.
That's why I said Europe, don't be so sure, because they are in a serious problem themselves. They're almost not in a position to be, they've got so much shit to fix on their priority list. They're nowhere near, let's build up our military. If they do, the public is going to fight them on it.
They'll also have to conscript a lot of guys.
Big time. And in the age that we live in,
No one wants conscription.
No one's going to agree with that. It'll have to be the biggest reversal of human rights and personal autonomy.
Here's another side of it. The immigration trend that's been happening is almost there for that thing.
Almost there for the conscription. You want to come in?
Anyways, I don't want to go that route.
They did it with world football. French conscripted a whole soccer team from Africa.
This is definitely one of my favorite episodes. When you see me not talking and just consuming, listening, you must know with
Now he's going to go on dates with those corporate hands. We don't need Starlink.
You'll see me like this, poison. Be like,
just checking in on my Tesla stock.
Do you know what's crazy, eh? You know what's crazy, PH? So, myself, I sat with Sizwe, Bofu Walsh, right? And we had a conversation. And before we spoke, I said to him, Do you know that my female audience, right? I'm still a smaller channel. I think I'm almost at 50,000 now on YouTube. My female audience sometimes gets as low as 9%. 9%.
Jeez,
at its most, I've ever seen it, it's at 15%.
1.5. The rest are men.
The rest are men. Mm. So I asked him, I said, what's yours? He's like, bro, I'm also at those levels.
Yeah, but it's because the world's problems are going to be fixed by men. Women can actually just stand
by. Hey, you were doing well. You were doing well. You were doing extremely well.
Masa, can you please repeat the numbers?
Yeah? You were doing well. 9%. Hold on.
And 41.
Okay, leave it at that.
Caesar's numbers are at the same. He's at the same levels as me.
Leave it there.
And he's got 20.
Yeah, our leave numbers. It there. We are at 35 female because.
Yo, man, thank you very much for your time.
In fact, ladies, I think you should take over. I'm apologizing.
I just saw Boozy walk into the building. So please, Boozy, before you kill us. And we've got this new person or new character in the show.
Not a person.
Sorry, a new character in the show called Boozy.
Uh-huh.
Boozy the goat, who's not really a goat, but identifies as a goat. So, yeah.
He's
a sheep. Boozy, do your thing.
What's up, Leaks? What's up, everybody? So with this Joburg North radio station, right? The CEO is HR, finance station manager, and the program director. So basically, he's the Thanos of the building. Sis tried to fire a newsreader for not having her WhatsApp blue ticks on. I know, right? Newsreader be like, ma'am, it's my phone, not the station's, and I always reply to regardless of the ticks. Now the CEO is pacing like a Marvel villain because she can't control those red receipts. Imagine losing your job over ghost mode. SA radio drama as well, man. Ah!
So it's the season, you know, the season of radio ons and offs.
Yeah.
So apparently at one of our Joburg North radio stations, the program manager, HR, finance, Zonke Bonke is one person.
The Jomo Sono of...
Right.
Aibu.
And the Jomo Sono
of... One of the newsreaders was fired because she didn't have her blue ticks on.
So
she was like, but it's my phone.
Yeah.
Sure. The radio station is not the only place I communicate with.
Sure.
So for the purposes of my WhatsApp, Inje, she was like, well, we won't know if you've read our messages or not. So for sake.
I will.
Is it you?
CCMA, you have 24 hours to respond.
Is it I'm assuming it's a guy.
The manager is a woman.
Oh.
You?
Yeah.
Oh, because I was going to go another...
the manager is a woman. A woman to woman.
Hey, nowadays,
you see, Boozy said she's acting like the Thanos of the building. Is around this time, the radio industry, they're sweating because you actually don't know if you still got a job or not. And sometimes you'll be replaced by someone and you'll be like, how the fuck did that happen? And
was it based off numbers? Was it based off feeling?
Cookie, what's the story?
Yeah.
So, I was at the pantry last night.
Yeah.
Right? And...
Swanky places, this one.
Melrose guys.
Not a normal...
brother. 24-hour oxtail pizza. Oxtail pizza, but...
Please, can I have a... This is a Burberry coat.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, some limited Jordans there?
No, well, I mean, you were looking at it like it's a slumber.
Yes, this is a problem.
Yeah. Sure.
So, Izolo, after I went out it was some first Sunday thing, I went, frolicked, got to pen. This is at like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night.
Sure.
And there's a brute sitting there with his headphones on laptop, you know? And he's looking at me the whole time. So, when I sat down now to consume my pizza, that brute comes to me, taps me on the shoulder. He's like, can I have a word with you? I said, oh, okay. I go to his table. He's like, check it out. I'm from this radio station.
Mm.
What's the story with you? Because I'd like for you to come there. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, man, is this the radio station that's opposite the pantry by any chance?
Hey?
Is it the radio station
that's
opposite
the pantry? No, it's 11 p.m. at night. No. Not the one opposite the pantry.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
But yeah, he was like, no, I think you need to seriously look at... Nah, I don't know this fucking guy.
Bro. Yeah, it's just a random book.
Like, I thought he's just shooting the breeze.
Yeah, guarantee.
Right? Guarantee. Then he goes in his laptop and he showed me like some privileged information there. And he was like, so check it out. This is the situation. Let's talk. Took my number, whatever.
So do we have a radio show?
No. Oh. We don't have one yet. Come on. I was looking at the date.
And you were saying...
And I'm thinking to myself, at this stage of the game... People know what's going on.
No,
this guy is still shopping.
The Snoops matter now.
Well, it's April. When did they start?
No. So the government-based ones all start in April. The private ones are the ones that are June.
This is a private one.
Yeah, that's what I would have said because all of the April ones
they're done now.
Yeah.
March.
Yeah, you're right. April. So
look, it's obviously not like it's obviously not the government based ones. I said I was at Pantry, not Moja.
Hey,
Warwick, stop! Oh. Jeez!
Yesterday's what? Price is not today's price. Eh?
Jeez! Sorry. I live in highly taxed areas.
Yes.
Buying pizza, okay. Not
is, it, is that thing randomly? Is that, remember, there was once a conspiracy.
No, I just thought it's no, weird. I was like, yo, okay.
Is there a conspiracy that, I remember a time there's another blue private station that apparently had a guy in Australia who would listen to people's shows and fire and hire people.
Yeah.
I've heard that. Is it a real thing or was it a...
I was on a call with that guy.
Aibo.
Another guy.
Oh.
That guy actually... No, like a oak. I think it's... Open knowledge. Yeah. Well, whatever.
Is fuck,
they're not giving
me
a job. The guy, you'd sit on a call with him in Australia, and then you'd have the discussion with the management team and him. Got a lot of power.
But
he is an expert. He's like world-renowned, coded fucking guy.
In radio.
In
radio,
Grant.
Yeah.
Hmm? Grant?
No, not Grant. Oh. No, the oak sat in Australia.
He's a shy savant.
No, man.
I'll tell you his name. Fuck, what is his name? He's got like...
No, because... Okay, cool. The reason why I would raise his
Did they
name,
call you?
No. I went to meeting one with one guy.
Yeah.
I went to meeting two with guy and local management team at the place.
Yeah.
Meeting three that I was called in for, they were like, Australia. Check it out. We're putting this man on. This is who he is. On a call with that bra. Then that bra and I would speak.
Just shoot the breeze.
Bra is in Australia. Yeah. You're right. He's in Australia, yeah. But... He has worked at prestigious places.
Stations.
Like Virgin, as in Richard Branson.
Yeah.
First name basis. In the States, some of the big production
companies.
So
he's like a global consultant.
Mad.
On marketing, radio,
on marketing,
broadcasting.
Marketing, broadcasting, and entertainment.
Gotcha. So you would hire and fire people, basically?
Well, his word carries a lot of weight. If he said, I don't like that PH guy, they would take it under serious consideration.
Why PH?
No,
I'm...
You never worked there, bro. I'm using you as an example.
There at the private.
There at the
prime room.
I'm a private.
No, prime room. At the prime room.
We have friends there.
The prime room.
It was cool.
The prime room. The prime room.
Yeah.
Sure. Not yet.
You don't know. Dubai.
Maybe that's the corner.
No. Your brain is upside down.
Listen, that's how we want to wrap up the show. Bro, thank you very much for your time and thank you for your knowledge. Like I said, in a show that I shut up and don't speak much, you must just know.
Take it in on the highest level.
But please engage with us on the comments there. This man is full of knowledge and we want you to debate nicely.
Yes.
And obviously, you know, if there's something that we got wrong,
I'll be there as well.
Please,
I'll be in the comments as
please,
well.
Please. But like, share, subscribe. And look out for some of these snippets when we're going to be talking on some of these things. Hit us up on Twitter, X. Of course, every other social platform. IG, what else is there, gents?
IG, TikTok, Twitter. Okay. And please go check out Mustafa. Mustafa on all social media platforms.
Even LinkedIn, guys. LinkedIn is...
LinkedIn is a source of scammery. All the scammers on LinkedIn.
So I unfollowed on Instagram, but my followers on LinkedIn.
They are all the way out.
We're moving.
Guys, LinkedIn... The irony of LinkedIn, right, is that if somebody likes what you do, you get to understand who they are by saying, hey, let me follow you on LinkedIn.
Sure.
Then you get their whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, I just met
I thought LinkedIn is a scammer.
Yeah, I met somebody.
Selling crypto.
No, man, stop it.
Wait,
I met somebody at the Gauteng budget breakfast.
Sure.
And this lady came up to me. I'd made a comment talking about the bureaucratic corruption and how it's now infiltrated the state. And that's one of the reasons why we're inefficient, because everything is priced up. But leave that. So then I said this thing. So she came up to me, had a chat. She's a chief business developer for a major company.
Sure.
She just came up to me. She's like, follow me on LinkedIn. And now we're kind of like chatting on that stuff. And she's an enterprise development person. So don't sleep on LinkedIn. Don't sleep on LinkedIn, guys.
So you know how we spoke about the running clubs and the
yeah, sure.
LinkedIn, Baba. For business people.
Corporate.
For business people. Yo, uzojola nemali, uzojola nemali.
Leave mine. Leave Tinder. Leave seeking. LinkedIn, baba.
Yeah, also, don't sleep on LinkedIn being a dating site.
No, that's what I'm saying.
You get to know exactly if the person is employed, where they've been employed. Yeah. Yes, you can even then start to do your own reverse thing and saying, 100%. Okay, she's now a senior manager on this thing because, you know, might take two shoes.
Sure.
Then, and then go and then literally take the job title, copy it, put it into thing and put it on Indeed or whatnot and 100%. See how much a person in South Africa at that level gets paid, base level and the highest level. Then you know how much his thing. And then uyazukuthi, am I playing in the Champions League? Mm. Am I playing in Vela?
My brother.
Am I playing NFT? Am I playing PSL? Or am I
and
at
now
the
you can
Cup?
Make a better call on taking it easy. And if it's easy, taking take it home because she's employed, 100%. The likelihood that you're going to wake up in the morning with a bill.
Or that invoice.
Boy, let's get it.
Chess, not checkers. Please. Okay? We're out of here. Thank you very much. Yeah, we'll see you on the next episode.
Take it easy, and if it's easy.
Don't take it home! Don't take it home!
Shout out my Deggy Two Shoes.